Hello.
Hi.
How's the apartment?
Awesome.
Still good?
Yeah.
Good. You have what? I appreciate Emily playing piano tonight for us. I saw her practicing after church this morning, didn't put it together that she was going to be playing tonight. Apparently they made those arrangements. We appreciate that. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We're just going to read one verse. That doesn't mean it's a short sermon. But we are going to begin just by reading one verse, Ephesians chapter 4 and the last verse in the chapter, verse number 32. I appreciate Brother Carl loaning me his watch. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 32. The Bible says here, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer.
Father, again, thank you for this Sunday evening, this opportunity to gather again in your name. Thank you, Father, for the fellowship of the saints. Father, each and every one that's out here tonight. We pray, God, that on this holiday weekend, that Father, tonight you would give us something that would challenge us, that would encourage us, that would compel us. Father, what we're going to look at tonight is definitely when the rubber meets the road in the Christian life. And so, Father, I pray you challenge us from your word. Help us to desire for you to continue to work in our hearts and in our lives and conform us to the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, use your word to speak to our hearts. Use it to convict us if need be. Use it to challenge us and motivate us to do right. Should there be one tonight that does not know Christ as Savior, I'm sure they're going to heaven when they die. Father, that is the most important message we have to give tonight. We pray, Father, that we come to know Christ as Savior. For we that are saved, Father, help us to understand that the battle is not over. The victory is won on our behalf. Yet we've got a journey to travel. And so help us, Father, as we examine these things from your word tonight. Bless your word each and every heart. Make us something specific, God. In every individual life here tonight, something from your word that will help us in the days to come. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 32 says, "And be ye kind one to another." I don't know in the 36 years that I've been a Christian that I have ever heard a sermon on kindness. Now, I've probably heard sermons on kindness as a subpoint to a sermon, but I'm not sure I've ever heard one that the whole sermon was on kindness, and I know I've never preached a sermon on kindness until now. Let me tell you what motivated me to preach this sermon tonight, and Brother Jay said that confession is good for the soul, so you're about to get it right now. On any given day, my feet hit the floor when I get out of bed, and within 15 minutes, I'm usually out the door. I'm not a slow riser. I'm not a sit down at the table with my coffee cup kind of person. Some folks are like that. I'm not. I get up and I get ready and I'm out the door and my day begins. And for the next 12, 14 hours, whatever it might be, all day long I'm interacting with other people. Whether I'm visiting the nursing homes or the hospital or people in their houses, or whether I'm here at the office and people are coming and going on a regular basis, or I'm here studying and I go out at lunchtime or do other church-related ministry, all day long I'm interacting with people. And without going into a lot of detail, when you visit people in nursing homes and hospitals and at home, and you're witnessing and talking to people out throughout the day, a lot of times you find that you have to practice being kind one to another. A lot of times you've got to bite your tongue. A lot of times you've got to You've got to pray for tactfulness to say the right thing and in the right way at the right moment. And some days can be very challenging. And most of you understand what I'm talking about. It's very easy to just spout off sometimes. It's very easy to just say what's on your mind. And many times that would not come under the category of be ye kind one to another. And so one of these days that I had been tested to my limit of kindness, I finally got home later in the day and got home in the evening and was sitting in my lounger, my chair, and I don't know if I was reading a book or reading the newspaper or just sitting back with my eyes closed and letting the relaxation wash over me. But in the middle of my peaceful moment, my wife spoke up. And I don't know what she asked me. I don't know what she said. I don't remember. But I just remembered that I was irritated. Because I'd all day long worked so hard at being kind. And now I come home, I should be able to relax. I should be able to throw. I don't have to be kind anymore. And Sonia said something, and I don't know what it was. I don't know what it was about. And I snapped. And I did. You know, I'm not mean necessarily, but I know what I said. The minute I said it to her, the Holy Spirit convicted me in my heart and said, "Hey, dummy." That's how he talks to me. He talks to me in language I can understand. He says, "Hey, dummy, you went all day long being kind and good to strangers and other people. And then you come home and sit in your chair and snap at the person you love the most." Now, I know none of you can relate to that. I was under such conviction, I said, "God, I've got to do something about this." And so I said, "I know what I'll do. I'll preach to other people about it." That's how you get out from under the conviction. You tell other people, you lousy, no good, unkind people. But God convicted me about that, and I shared that with Sonia and told her that had happened, and I have to work on that. I have to work on being kind all the time to everybody, and it should come natural to be kind to those that you love the most. And I was talking to Sonia about this message. I don't do that a lot of times, tell her what I'm thinking about preaching, but we were talking about this subject of kindness, and she kind of brought up the thing of, you know, some of the people down at Kmart or Walmart, or, you know, the people that work at the counter all day and have to put that smile on their face and be so nice to everybody, even when the people are rude to them and the people are obnoxious to them, they have to say, or the people behind the counter at McDonald's, something like that, they have to put these smiles on, and I bet most of them, when they go home at night, feel just like I did that one night. And say, "I've been kind all day long, I don't have to do it anymore," and take it out on the people they love the most. And this is the verse that came to my mind that night. Don't you just hate when God does that? He convicts you and he gives you a Bible verse at the same time. And he told me, just like he was speaking to me, I know it wasn't audible, I know nobody else heard it in the room, and I know he wasn't, but the verse that came to my mind was, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another." I want to preach to you this evening on kindness. You know, once you're saved, you're not a finished project. I'm looking at a bunch of lives that are under construction. You're saved, God's redeemed your soul, you've been adopted into the family of God, you've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're signed, sealed, delivered, that's over. But you're not in heaven yet. God didn't kill you and bring you home. He's got some work to do in your life. Notice if you would, right after Ephesians, look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, look at what the Bible says in verse number 6. "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." You're not a finished project. You got saved, your sins have been forgiven, you're washed in the blood of Christ, your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, all those wonderful things. And yet at the same time, you've got things you're supposed to be doing and changing in your life right now. Look at Colossians. This is how I know this. After Philippians is Colossians. And look at Colossians chapter 3. If you think, "Well, I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven, and now I don't smoke, don't drink, don't cuss, don't look at pornography, don't, you know, all these big sins, I don't do any of that thing, I'm fine," you're not reading your Bible. God's not content with you to stay like you are. He always wants you to be growing in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I should not be what I was spiritually a year ago, or 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, or a week ago. We're supposed to be moving in the right direction. And these areas that need the most work are, most of us, I don't think we've got any murderers in here. At least not the kind that shed other people's blood. I don't think we've got any bank robbers in here. I don't think we've got any of the terrible people that are in here that we describe those sins. But you know what? We've got folks that need to work on specific areas of their life. And one of those areas is be kind one to another. Notice here in Colossians, as you're looking in verse, Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul says in verse number 8, writing to Christians, writing to believers, he says in verse 8, but now ye also put off all these. Okay, he's writing to Christians. He's writing to the church at Colossae. And he's talking to you. He's talking to believers and saying, put off these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds. He's writing to Christians. And yet they're still struggling with these different sins. And verse 10, he says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew. This is talking about being in Christ. Circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythians, bond or free. But Christ is all and in all. Verse 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, saved people, holy and beloved, notice, bowels of mercies. Number 2, kindness. Be ye kind one to another. The Bible says one of those characteristics that we are to put on after we save is kindness. Not just to those that we like, but kindness to strangers. Kindness to those we dislike. That's what kindness is all about. You say, oh boy, you know, a sermon on kindness, this ought to be an easy one. We'll skate through this. Because everybody knows they're supposed to be kind. Yeah, but we don't know the extent to which our kindness is supposed to go. Kindness is not just putting a smile and saying hi to strangers. Kindness is going farther than that. Now notice in Colossians 3 and verse number 12, I've made a list of the things it says to put on. In verse 12 it says put on, I can't read my own writing, I'll have to look at the Bible. It says put on mercies, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. How are you doing on those things? See, your battle's not over. Your job's not done. God saved you. You're the elect of God. You've put on Christ, but now he says put off some things and put these on. Verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Verse 14, above all these things, put on charity. Verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The end of verse 15, be ye thankful. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all to the, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God's not just interested in saving your soul and saying, I'm done. Now he wants to make you a better person. Now he wants to give you more character. And the sad thing in the world we live in a world with lots of characters, but not many people with character. You go throughout your day and you walk into places and watch people walk in and out of stores and out of places, and you just look at the way they're dressed and the way they carry themselves and the way they speak and the way they talk, and you say there's no character in that person. We were walking, I think it was in Walmart last night. We went to get copy paper. And walking down the aisle, and these young kids, I know they have to develop character, it takes a long time. But these young teenagers walking too, and this guy's walking down there, and just the foulest, vulgarest language coming out of his mouth in a public place, in Walmart with all kinds of people around. You know what the problem is? No character. No character. Now I know first he's got to get saved. It's nothing going to fix it until he gets saved. But then there's no character. And sad to say, in Christian people, many times there's no character. We might change the words a little bit, but be just as nasty. And so the Bible tells us we got things that we need to change once we get saved. And putting on all these things is what he tells us in Colossians chapter 3. And one of those things is putting on kindness. How are you doing in kindness? Kindness is both an action and an attitude. It's an action and an attitude. Look, if you would, in Acts chapter 28. We're going to do quite a bit of turning tonight. Acts chapter 28. Notice that kindness is both an action. There are some synonyms with kindness in the Bible. Goodness. The goodness of God. Grace can be a synonym of kindness. And we'll see that locked in. God shows grace because of His kindness. So there are words that are similar. But kindness has a specific meaning, and it means both an action and an attitude. Notice we see the action in Acts chapter 28. Again, Paul in Acts chapter 27 is on his way to Alexandria, on his way to Rome, and has a shipwreck, and they wash up on the beach of some deserted island. In Acts 28 it says, and when they escaped, they knew that island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. For they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. Here are some barbarous people. We talk about people with no character. These barbarous people had more character than a lot of civilized people have. They took in Paul, they took in the people of the shipwreck and brought them up and started a fire to get them warm and took care of them and sat around and conversed with them. They showed them kindness. I remember the words of Rodney King. You remember him? Back in the L.A. riots, back the guy that was speeding through town and the police had to wrestle him down. And because he was black, it led to a lot of turmoil. And after everybody was fighting and scared, they got him on television and said, "Why can't everybody just get along?" And outside of that situation and that scenario, the question is, why can't we show kindness? Why can't we be kind one to another? Kind is an action and an attitude. Webster's 1828, the old dictionary, defines kindness this way. First of all, it says, number one, goodwill. That's an attitude. An attitude of goodwill. Then it says, number two, it uses almost the same words, and it says, an act of goodwill. That's the second definition. It starts with an attitude and then follows through with an action. You have to be predisposed to be kind before you're going to be kind. Kindness doesn't come by accident. You have to purposely set forth to be kind before you're going to be kind. The dictionary also elaborates and says this, that disposition which delights in contributing to the happiness of others. That's what kindness is. That attitude, that disposition that likes to contribute to the happiness of others. Can we say it in a way we understand? Being kind many times requires self-sacrifice. Now, kindness isn't an easy thing, is it? Oh yeah, it's easy to be kind. It requires self-sacrifice. You get up and go all throughout your day and you're in conversation with people, and sometimes there's something you'd like to say, something that comes to your mind, but the Spirit of God says, be kind one to another. Now, it's not that you can't say it, but you've got to say it tactfully. You've got to say it kindly. You got to say it, as we're going to see, with brotherly kindness, or it's not going to come out that way. And so the Bible tells us that we have to do that. We have to put ourselves down, sacrifice. Oh, I'd like to give him a piece of my mind. You've heard that before. You probably can't afford it. And when you give him a piece of your mind, I remember this. This whole thing, I'm preaching to me right now, and I'm just unloading it on you. Have you ever said those words, and the minute they're coming out, you're wishing you could reach out with your right arm and grab them and pull them back because they're already gone now? We need to practice kindness. Being kind requires self-sacrifice, not reacting. Even when people are not kind toward us, even when they don't deserve kindness, it's easy to be kind to those that are kind to us. But this kind of kindness the Bible is talking about is a deep-seated character of Christianity, a deep-seated character of a building faith. And it means being kind not just to those that say, "Hi, how are you?" and those that treat you kindly, but being kind to those that are not kind toward you. How is our kindness tonight? I want you to notice this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is a startling thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I love the little things of the Bible. You know, you get saved, you start reading the Bible, and you get the major doctrines and the major points of the Bible, and everything's good and God. And then as you continue moving, as we talk about growing in grace, then the big things are still good. But then you start finding the little things in the Bible, the little nuggets that God's hidden in there. And it never amazes me, no matter how many times I read through the Bible, and then sit down in the last couple of weeks and prepare and study for this sermon, and then go to this text as we're going to look at right now, and all of a sudden my eyes see something I never saw before. I love the way the Bible's like that. And notice what it says here concerning kindness in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Begin at verse 1 and look what Paul says. Writing again to the church at Corinth. We then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. All right, we're post-salvation now, verse 3. Giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. He's talking at the church of Corinth to the workers of the church. And he says in verse 4, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. I don't like that list. I call that the in list. Notice in verse number 4 and verse number 5, all the times the word in appeared. In all things, in much patience, in affliction, in necessity, in distress, in stripes, in imprisonment, in tumult, in labor, in watching, in fastings. Those are the actions. But now notice the bys. Those are the ins. Now we get to verse 6 and verse 7 and verse 8, and notice the word by. That's Paul's attitude in response to those actions put upon him. Those that are afflicting him, those that are imprisoning him, those that are putting him in labors and tumults and watching and fasting. How does Paul respond to that in verse 6? By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering. Here's our word, by kindness. By the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand, on the left, by honor and dishonor. The Bible is telling us that our kindness should extend to those people that would put us in strife, in tumult, in imprisonment. In that list that Paul gives, in labors, in watchings, and fasting, that our kindness should extend to those people because our attitude is pureness, knowledge, long-suffering, kindness, the Holy Ghost, love unfeigned, the word of truth, the power of God, the armor of righteousness, honor and dishonor. How's your kindness tonight? Our kindness should be springing forth from a well of deep-seated Christian character. That's our kindness. We need to show a little bit of kindness. It's not just showing kindness to those who deserve kindness. It's not just treating kind those who we like. We need to treat that store clerk kind. Again, I was talking with Sonia about this message. She was talking about taking Aaron into McDonald's here in Byesville the other day, a couple of weeks ago or a week or so ago. And I think she took her in because they went through the drive-thru and they ordered a hamburger with ketchup only, and it didn't come out that way. But she went in just to simply exchange it. I think that was what was going on. And she said that when she went in, there was a man standing at that counter that was just irate because they'd messed up his order. They had gotten it wrong. And he stood there and argued and yelled and debated and made a scene in the whole place to where everybody in there was embarrassed. And you know who should be embarrassed? A grown man standing in a restaurant yelling and screaming because his food wasn't exactly the way he wanted it to be. Again, we go back to that character issue in our country today. You know, there's times where things like that are going to happen. That's a mundane thing. But there are times where other people are going to mess up things for you. And it's usually not intentional. And if we would just react in such a way, you know, I've found that kindness goes a long way. And then when somebody does something and it's wrong, they didn't do it intentionally, and you say, hey, I know you didn't mean to do this. See, the words mean a whole lot. Keep your place here. Look at Proverbs chapter 15. This is a verse that I memorized when I was very, very young in the Lord. And it has been a great verse for me in my life. Because it's not my nature. Most of you don't know me. You don't know my nature and you don't want to know my... I'm not like the Hulk, you know, you don't want to see me angry. But all of us, our nature is not what you see. What you see now is something saved by the Lord Jesus Christ and washed in the blood of the Lamb and changed into a new creature. But that old man is still alive and he likes to speak sometimes and I have to keep him under control. And Proverbs 15 verse 1 has been a wonderful verse for me. And here it says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. That's a good verse. Write it on a 3x5 card. Carry it around in your pocket, in your purse, somewhere. Memorize that verse. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. You know, people can't argue with somebody that won't argue. Did you know that? They have a hard time getting mad at somebody that won't get mad in return. You know why? You know why the world's so full of strife today? Is because when somebody gets mad, they react by getting mad back. And now you've got two mad people. And that's not going to solve anything. But when one gets mad, if the other stays calm and reasonable and talks things out and says, you know, I understand you're upset. Now that sometimes makes the other person more upset. But if we would just show kindness. Kindness, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. No tongue lashing. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't times that we have to be firm with people and correct people. But the Bible says, with love, considering thyself, that's kindness. What is kindness? It's an action as well as an attitude. Why should we be kind? Now that we know what it is, why should we be kind? Look back, if you would, at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 31. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You'll notice that every time this word kindness and all these times, when we look at Colossians, when we look at Corinthians, when we look at Ephesians, every time this word kindness pops up, it's in contrast to other behaviors. And here it's in contrast to verse 31. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice. And he says in verse 32, and be ye kind one to another. May I point out to you, that's a command. Why should we be kind? Because that's a command of Jesus Christ. He said, be ye kind. It doesn't get any plainer than that. He's not making it an option. He's not making it plan B. He's telling us as believers, we need to make an effort. We need to make an attempt. It's his command, be ye kind one to another. You're not your own, you're bought with a price. You don't get to say what you want to say. You don't get to spew what you want to spew. You don't get to act like you want to act. You're not your own, you're bought with a price. Be ye kind one to another. It's a command. Notice it in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. You know, my out is, they didn't have cars back in Bible days. So these guys writing about kindness didn't know what it was like to drive behind that lady that's going 25 in a 55 zone. That's what tests my kindness. But here in 2 Peter chapter 1, look if you would down at verse number 5. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. All right, you saved. You know Christ is your Savior. You got the faith part down. All right, now he says add something to your faith. You're not the finished product. He's not done with you yet. I like the song, "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How gracious and something he must be. God's still working on me." He is. Whether you've been saved 5 years, 50 years, God's still working. He doesn't give up. He's not done. And he's given us so many lists in the Bible of things to work on, you've got to comprehend. He's not done. And here it says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 6, and add to, in verse 5, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, verse 7, and to godliness brotherly kindness. See, kindness is a characteristic of a developed Christian. And a lot of Christians aren't developed. A lot of Christians are premature. A lot of Christians haven't got to the point where they have added to their faith knowledge, and to their knowledge temperance. And to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness. Now this kindness is emphasizing those of the household of faith. Look at Galatians. Go back to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Verse number 10. Here's how this kindness is to be shown. He said, add to godliness brotherly kindness. Your kindness should start right here. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. The Bible says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. There's all men. Do good to all men, but especially unto them who are the household of faith. Our kindness should begin here and then move out from here. Folks, I'll be honest with you. I believe we have a congregation of kind people. I've seen it in evidence too many times. Personally, for me, when Josh passed away, and as you know, the sudden funeral expense was large. A couple people got the suggestion and asked you to help out, and you helped us, and we paid off Josh's funeral expense. You know what that came from? People being kind one to another. And there have been times within our congregation that a lot of times people don't know. In fact, I can say it because the people involved aren't here, but Brother Ed Lenhart going through difficult times, not only physically, financially. And somebody 2 weeks ago walked up to me and gave me a check for $200 and said, "I don't want to know where it came from, but make sure he gets this money." And that happens several times, many times, to different folks in the congregation. There are times where people are watching out for them. Not just in monetary things, but hey, you need a ride, you need help, what can I do? This thing, that thing. That's the kindness that spreads within a congregation. And I believe part of the reason God has blessed us so wonderfully and we have such a good spirit in our church and people come in and say, "You got such friendly people there," is because we're kind one to another. And so I feel I'm preaching this sermon to the choir. And yet at the same time, I know every one of us starting right here, every one of us still has more improvement to make in the area of kindness. Be a kind one to another. Why? Because it's commanded. And then most of all, because God is kind. He has set the example. You can come to me after the church tonight and you can say, "Pastor, I understand everything you talked about being kind, but there is one person that just the way they treat me and the things they say about me and the attitude they have about me, there's just one person that God didn't know about, that the Bible wasn't talking about. God didn't know about this one person." Can I tell you, God knew you. And you didn't deserve the kindness of God. And you didn't deserve for God to be kind to you. And the reason you and I should be kind to the worst of the unkindness to us is because God was kind. He set the ultimate example. And now He tells us to be like Him. Look, if you would, in Titus chapter 3, right before the book of Hebrews. Titus chapter 3. It was there a little while ago. Titus chapter 3. Look at verse 3. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts. Divers means various kinds, diverse. Divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Don't you just see that in the world today? Just the spirit of society today. It's just people get mad so easily, get upset so simply. It doesn't take anything. And God is saying that's the nature of us. That's the nature of mankind in verse number 3. But in verse number 4, the Bible says, but after that the kindness and love of our God and Savior toward man appeared. All right, when we were like verse 3, when we were filled with the things of verse 3, verse 4 says, God still had His kindness and showed His kindness toward us. You know what He let you do? He let you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul. Notice verse number 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The ultimate example of kindness is God Himself, who showed kindness to people that didn't deserve it and allowed them to come across the grace of God to the saving of their soul. Now that person you look at, that person you deal with, that person across the counter or wherever it might be, that doesn't deserve any kindness, is just like you. Not worthy of any kindness. And yet God showed it. It said there in verse number 4, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Look back at Ephesians chapter 2. Carl's watch tells me I'm about done. If this has a timer that goes off, I'll really know I've been set up. Two of the plainest, clearest passages of Scripture on salvation, not by works of righteousness which we have done, are Titus, where we just looked, and Ephesians chapter 2. Both of these passages are the two key passages. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, Titus 3, 5 are the two verses that the youngest soul winner remembers and memorizes to tell people that it's not by works, but it's by grace. And in both of these passages, God gives the same presentation, that you and I were not worthy of the grace of God. And it's only the kindness of God that allowed Him to show you grace. A lot of times when we think about the grace of God, we understand God riches at Christ's expense, giving you something you didn't deserve. But you know, God's grace is based on God's kindness. There's a spoke in the wheel there that made His grace available. And that is that, number one, He was kind to us because we weren't deserving of His grace. Here in Ephesians chapter 2, notice we find the same pattern. Salvation in verse 8 and 9. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The salvation message is clear. It matches Titus chapter 3, verse 5. But notice before that salvation message, it tells us what we were. Go back to verse 1. And you hath He quickened who were dead. That's the way you were before you got saved. You were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. That's not a good thing. According to the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil. You know what that tells us? That all of society that's walking around there is walking under the power of the prince of the power of the air. They're under the devil's control. Until they come and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are a child of the devil. They're under his control. In spite of the morality they may or may not have in their life, without Christ in their heart and life, Jesus said in John 8:44, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do." And the Bible says we're all like that. We walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Again, notice he's saying that's what we were before we got saved. Now we don't fulfill the lust of our flesh and the desires of our mind. We have control. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. In verse 8 and 9, we've got salvation. In verse 1 and 3, we've got how bad we were. We didn't deserve that salvation. And notice verse 7 right there in the middle. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. His kindness toward those of us that... all of us who are described in verse 1 through 3. And yet now we're on our way to heaven, verse 8 and 9. And the reason is because the kindness of God, our Savior, appeared. Why should we be kind to even the most unkind? Why should we show kindness to those that aren't deserving of kindness? Because God gave it to us when we weren't deserving of it. And that kindness enabled us to come to Christ as our Savior. We could give all kinds of examples and things, but you know, sometimes, folks, it's just as simple as it. That person on the other side of that counter that's grumping at you and grouching at you, had something happen that morning in their life that had it happened to you, you'd be acting the same way. And the thing they don't need today added on top of that is someone else's attitude. And someone else taking offense to their attitude and piling on top of what they've got. You know, kindness will go a long way. And kindness will reach out to people who are in need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 32, "Be ye kind one toward another." Here's what kindness is in conclusion. Kindness is looking at others in the light of how God looks at you. That's what kindness is. Looking at others in the light of how God looks at you. I didn't deserve the kindness of God. According to the Bible, I was an enemy in my mind by wicked works. I got no argument with that. Vile, filthy, ungodly, wicked, all those kind of things, all those adjectives that describe a person before salvation, got no problem with that. But the kindness of God allowed me to bank on His grace and trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. And now God says, "I've set the example. Be ye kind one to another." Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our Father, tonight it's...